Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
And joining us right now to talk about it, Seth Emerson, guys. And you get a chance to read Seth on The Athletic. If you're not a subscriber yet, you got to do it. They've got great folks who cover a variety of sports. And Seth has been covering the Dogs for a long time. Joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Seth, I want to start with kind of setting the scene. Who was in attendance? It was kind of a who's who today out there, wasn't it?
There's the GM of the NFL team in Atlanta, who is always there. And Bill Belichick is now kind of a regular. I'm trying to remember the last year he did not come to UGA's Pro Day. But after that, there weren't, like, any head coaches that I know about. Or if there were any, they didn't really make themselves very obvious. My facial recognition techniques are not good, but probably some GMs there that also didn't recognize or didn't make themselves very prominent. But the Falcons basically brought their entire organization, and every NFL team was represented, which has been kind of a commonality the last few years too. So yeah, a lot of interest obviously in all these prospects because Georgia has a bunch.
It is Seth Emerson, guys, on the WadeFord.com hotline from The Athletic. As Carl said, read all your dog columns throughout the year. Seth, do you think it was unfair the way DeAndre Baker's combine workout was characterized? A lot of guys said some of the footwork and backpedaling was awkward because, you look at DeAndre Baker, the guy was as good as it gets in the SEC.
Yeah, that's what I keep coming back to. I mean, he allowed as many touchdowns at the combine and at his pro day as he did his junior and senior year at Georgia, which is to say zero. And it's at the SEC level. He obviously faced some really good wide receivers. He faced Calvin Ridley in the national championship game, and the touchdown Ridley got was not on Baker, it was on somebody else. He faced tall receivers. He faced quick receivers. He faced physical receivers, and he just did well all the time. And I think the film don't lie, as they say. It'll be interesting to see how this plays out the first night, maybe second night of the draft, if it gets that far with Baker. I wonder whether all of this is kind of some teams trying to talk him down to where they're drafting, or whether it's just kind of the typical nitpicking. You know, I mean, I'm not saying that DeAndre Baker is going to be a Hall of Famer, but, like, the fact is he did what he did on the field for Georgia against elite competition over right. The last couple of years. Maybe some of this is just kind of the typical stuff where he's not this huge, fast guy, which is probably the same reason he was only a three-star coming out of high school. But I watched him play for his entire career here, and I don't see much to nitpick about based on what he did on the field.
It is Seth Emerson talking to us about UGA's Pro Day. And, again, it's all in the eye of the beholder, right? All you need is one team to say, yeah, this is the guy we want. He does everything we want him to do, and they're going to roll the dice and pick him. Who, in your opinion, maybe improved their status today if you could have done that coming off the combine?
I wonder about Isaac Nauta running a better 40, and he didn't drop a pass in the passing drills that they did. Did that assuage any concerns? Not that that's going to push him up into the first few rounds. I don't think anyone expected him to be more than kind of a mid-round pick, somebody taken on the third day. But maybe he improved how early he goes on that third day. Elijah Holyfield probably stemmed the bleeding a little bit from his bad 40 time in Indy, but he didn't like turn it around so highly that he's just completely turned his stock back to where some people were even mentioning him in the first round, which wasn't likely anyway. I mean, I was talking with some other guys. You know, we've seen some good running backs come through Georgia, And is Elijah Holyfield at the Sony Michel, Todd Gurley, Nick Chubb level? No, but he could be at that Isaiah Crowell level for the NFL. Maybe not even that. I mean, Crowell was kind of I think he might have been a starter when he first became a rookie because he landed in the right situation with the Browns. But Holyfield's a guy who's good enough to be your second or third running back. First guy goes down and you say, okay, we'll give this guy a shot. Trying to think of some other guys. I mean, there's interviews and stuff going on. You wonder whether somebody like Lamont Galliard, who's a center, who's versatile, can play guard, Jonathan Ledbetter, defensive lineman, maybe they could kind of improve which round they're going. But I think we're looking at most likely DeAndre Baker, the only first-round candidate, with some guys like Riley Ridley, second or third-round candidate, DeAndre Walker, who didn't do anything today because he's still recovering from that groin injury. He's a second or third-round candidate. Mecole Hardman, to me, is the big wild card because he has such natural ability, and he has the ability to be this dynamic player. There just isn't as much film because, well, there is film, but it's not experience because he only switched to wide receiver as a sophomore, didn't even play it in high school. So do NFL teams say, it's not enough for us to go on?
Right.
Or do some people look at the raw skill and say, oh, we're taking this guy and we're taking him pretty high?
It is Seth Emerson with us, guys, from The Athletic. He's out there at Georgia's Pro Day. As we said, Belichick and all the Falcons staff out there eyeballing the dogs. All right, we got Georgia practice starting. We'll be out there for G-Day next month. Real quick, just to dovetail on the conversation about Isaac Nada. Had Nada stayed, would James Coley have gotten him the rock? Or is still Georgia's going to be running the football up the yin-yang with the new OC?
Well, they want to use the tight end, and they're going to use it a lot. They're just not going to use it as the focal point of their offense. You know, I'm sure that part of the reason Nada was ready to go pro, just in terms of his mentality. So he was, I think he had decided to go pro like very early in his junior year. He might have decided before he even went to Georgia. But people clamoring for the tight end to get the ball more also need to look at the receiver stats. Riley Ridley is about to be picked fairly high in the draft, despite not getting, I think, even 600 yards as a junior. Nobody does anymore because they have so much talent at receiver and tight end, the ball gets spread around a lot. And the end result for the offense is pretty good. Jake Fromm's numbers are pretty good, but he doesn't have that number one go-to receiver. He doesn't have a tight end that gets the ball a liberal amount just because it gets spread around. And frankly, I think that could affect decisions like people like Riley Ridley and Mecole Hardman and Isaac Nada, where they say, well, I could come back, but look at all this other talent here.
Right.
How much am I going to improve my stock? Elijah Holyfield told me before the combine, when I talked to him, that went into his decision too, that he said, yeah, look, I just rushed for over 1,000 yards. I could come back and do it again, but there's no guarantee I will. With DeAndre Swift back, Zamir White getting more healthy, James Cook is still around, and that figured into his decision to go. It's something that kind of self-perpetuates itself at Georgia now. They've got so much skill position talent that guys say, well, you know, maybe I need to go pro because I'm not going to be a star here, but they continue to have guys come behind them, and it doesn't look like the offense will miss too much of a beat.
It is Seth Emerson, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bell, talking about the dogs. UGA's Pro Day, spring practice going on. What's the latest on Zeus, man? When are we going to get a chance to see Zeus?
Which one?
Zamir White.
Zeus. I thought you said juice. my mind was somewhere else. Yeah. Where is OJ since he got freed, by the way?
Vegas, no, I think. I don't know.
On that. Yeah, well, hopefully not around here. Zeus is not going to participate much in spring practice. Mm-hmm. He's going to run on the side. I think it's one of those cases, guys, where they're not going to say it, but they're being really cautious because it's spring football. It's not the kind of thing you want to say out loud because then it kind of you don't want it to send the wrong message to everybody else who's healthy or who gets a little nicked up, and you want to fight through some injuries and stuff. But I think that if this were August 1, they would be having Zeus at the point he is now, try and see what he can do and maybe slowly ramp himself up. Because it's only spring practice, and they're going to take it easy and then get into the summer and see from there. It doesn't guarantee he's going to be ready to go in the season opener against Vanderbilt. I'm not saying that. I just do think they are taking it very cautious in the spring, and frankly, they should. Mm-hmm. He's had two ACL injuries, and you know it's in different knees. Even if he's looking good, why do you want to test it? Why do you want to test the bad luck any more than you need to?
Seth Emerson with us here, guys, talking about the Dogs as they're showing off their stuff for the NFL personnel out there on Georgia's Pro Day. All right, Seth, last year there was a lack of pass rush. That was kind of hurt Georgia in some big moments. Some of these freshmen, some of the true freshmen, guys like N'Kobe Dean, will these guys have a chance to crack the starting lineup and really be impact players?
Dean will be interesting to watch, and so will, when you mention the pass rushers, because Dean's an inside linebacker. But they've got Jermaine Johnson, this mega prospect, junior college guy, figure junior college, he's plug and play. Mm-hmm. These guys aren't automatic starters because they've still got pretty good guys in front of them. Like an inside linebacker, for instance, N'Kobe Dean, as good as he is, Monty Rice and Tay Crowder are both pretty good in their back.
Right.
And Channing Tindall and Quay Walker were freshmen last year who were sprinkled in, especially Tindall. So he's got to get past all these guys. It's a good problem to have, but yeah, it's really just kind of another remarkable statement on Georgia's recruiting under Kirby Smart that they bring in these prospects. We didn't even, I forgot to mention Nolan Smith.
Right.
Number one overall prospect, I guess by 24/7. He's an edge rusher too, as in defensive end, outside linebacker, depending on the scheme, the play, et cetera, et cetera. Like, there's a lot of talent here that you've got to figure out how to get them all out on the field. And that's a fun thing for them. I mean, we saw Branton Cox, a true freshman last year, walking around at Pro Day today. That's a guy that people are almost forgetting about. But he was a five-star last year, and he played last year, not as a starter. And you got a wealth of riches over there, and none of these incoming freshmen or highly regarded junior college prospects are guaranteed a starting spot yet.
Seth, I know this is somehow made news. I don't know why, but one of those Paul Feinbaum comments basically saying that Kirby and Nick Saban, you know, are not liking each other these days. And then Kirby answered the question. Were you there when he answered that question and said, absolutely not, I have no issues with Nick Saban?
Yeah, and I'm sure he knew it was coming. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I know and like Paul, so I haven't asked him, you know, where is he getting that? Is he just, did he hear it from somebody? I mean, he's obviously plugged in, but does, you know, did he hear from somebody or heard from somebody? Did he hear it from Saban himself? Or I don't know. Is he just judging on what he saw? In the end, it's a little bit like the whole brouhaha over Belichick wearing an Alabama shirt at Pro Day yesterday, but not wearing a Georgia shirt today. It's like, you know, in reality, you know, do we really need to ask about this? I mean, no offense, you just asking about it, but it's not anything that I think in the grand scheme of life matters too much right now. I think it is interesting. It wouldn't surprise me if there's competitive juices flowing both ways. I mean, they played two very competitive games against each other and very important games, obviously. And they're, you know, that's one thing, but they're going head-to-head on the recruiting trail a whole lot. And, you know, I think Mike Bobo and Kirby Smart, when Bobo was at Georgia and Kirby Smart was at Alabama, they went head-to-head on some recruits and had some heated battles, and they probably had some times where they were feeling icy to each other. But, you know, always came back to being, like, close friends. And I imagine it's probably like that with Kirby and Sadie.
All right, Seth, read all the stuff in The Athletic. Go get it. You get our buddy Dave O'Brien and Jeff Schultz and Seth giving you the Dog's angle. Thanks so much for the time from out in Athens at Pro Day.
Thank you very much.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better.
because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.